You're listening to Home Business Profits with Ray Higdon, where Ray shares tips and strategies for how to become a top earner in your company. Let's get into the episode.
This is a topic that I think should be covered more, and that's about leader retention. So that's going to be the kind of our main topic today, is talking about, you know, how to retain leaders. And I know that, you know, usually we're coming from a base of, you know, how to help the person just getting started and you know, and that sort of thing. But this is a topic, it's just not covered very much. And, you know, what's interesting is, you know, I've seen so many network marketing companies over the years that, you know, the leaders just, you know, just kind of come and go, you know, they go from thing to thing. And you know, this individual that I'm interviewing today, her and her partners have had a very, very successful track record of retaining leaders. Because you know what happens with checks and leadership titles is usually ego, right? So all of a sudden, the person you were mentoring is now the, you know, they know everything already. And who are you? And so, like, it's an interesting dynamic. And that's something that I think should be talked more about. And so let me tell you a little bit about who my guest I'm going to have on here. So at the age of 23, she was working for the Bank of Montreal, fighting the challenges of corporate Canada and wanting something more for her life. She found her company, worked 9 months for free while they opened up the country. So it wasn't open in Canada yet. And she, you know, did the work. She saw the vision and started working over there. She was the first single female at her position. And now she's a six-figure ring earner. She spends her time living in Mexico and teaches yoga spare time, right? That's not too bad, is it? That's not too bad. And her real passion is her nonprofit called Work, Play, Love. Work, Play, Love is responsible for supporting a boys' orphanage in Guatemala, purchasing two new vans for them, built an entire girls' orphanage in Guatemala, funding the daily running costs of the girls' home, and has been part of building a girls' school there as well. And she spends several months each year in Guatemala helping with the orphans and showing them love that they may not otherwise, you know, see. And so, like, I'm super excited to hear more about that. And the topic that I wanted her to talk about is just to talk about leadership retention, because she is someone that her and her partners have just had such a successful track record over the span of you know, quite a few years. She's done an amazing, amazing job. So I would love to welcome Kim Melia. Kim Melia, how are you?
Awesome. Thanks, Ray. Appreciate being here. And hello to all the audience out there. Hey, guys.
Yeah. So I guess my first question is, you're in the corporate world. Number one, like, who was the person, or what, you know, were they a friend, a stranger? Like, how did you get introduced to the concept of network marketing?
Well, first of all, I wanted to get the heck out of corporate. So I was open. All right. So I think that's a
big one. Why did you want to get out of corporate?
Well, I thought it was going to be really cool to have a boss and a paycheck and you know, to be able to have a job when I got out of high school. But when I realized I got cutthroat in corporate. And to be honest with you, Ray, I mean, I felt it. I was moving up the corporate ladder. I have a high school education. That's it. But I love people and I love relationships. And so I was building great relationships, and there was so much cutthroat happening. I was like, everybody, like, certain people don't like me because I'm nice to the boss, or I'm, you know, we'll go out for coffee afterwards or do something. But what happened was something traumatic happened in my family. And, you know, the truth is there was a suicide in my family, and it wasn't my biological family member, but it was somebody who we lived with. It was my mom's boyfriend. When he passed away of this, I found him. I went back to the work at the bank, because they forced me to come back because they wouldn't give me any days off because he wasn't related to me. That's when I knew I was a number. That's when I knew they didn't give a crap about me. And I said, okay, that's it. I'm done. You guys don't care about me, about how this affected me or anything. So that's when I just knew it's over and I had to look. So I was dating a guy, and his aunt and uncle introduced me to the industry.
Okay.
But I didn't like what they were introducing me to because the concept of what the jewelry they were selling didn't make sense to me. But they knew I loved travel. And so they just kept on trying. Every time they would move to another company because they didn't find themselves in the right company at first, they would just introduce me. And finally, we connected and I got involved.
Nice. So, you know, you started, you know, part of your story is you started working in a country that the company you're a part of still wasn't open in. That takes a little bit of vision. You know, most people, they're like, where's my check? They're not going to work for 1 month for free, let alone, you know, 9 months for free. And I know that some people, you know, haven't produced a result or something, but you're like, willingly, I know I'm not going to get paid. Like, what were you feeling? You just trusting your gut or like what happened there?
Yes. And trusting the people I was working with, and then trusting that the company had already existed in another country. And I was listening to those leaders. So yes, it was trusting my gut, but also seeing that I know that this would be a huge opportunity for myself if I was one of the first ones to introduce it to my own country, my own province. And so I took it upon myself. Now, 9 months, it wasn't easy. If you can imagine all the naysayers that you already get anyways that make fun of you for joining the industry, right?
Even if it was open.
Right. Imagine not getting paid. And I would bring people to meetings. Oh, well, it'll look something like this. And the service will look something like this. And I don't know when it's open. I mean, we sounded stupid if I think about it. Right. But no, not if you knew that it was existing already and it was a great company. So for me, it was probably one of the most invigorating times of my career in this industry. 9 months of not getting paid. But man, I got back up a lot of times after somebody punched me back down.
That's interesting. You know, I was, it's interesting, like looking back, like, you know, for me, when I was in foreclosure, but I made the decision to, you know, rock and roll network marketing, that was like such good times. And I wish people got that more, like, you know, it's you change energetically and then results came later. So many people think that, well, if only I got results, then I'd change. And that's not how it works. I was actually, last Friday, I was at a breakfast meeting, and this guy, David Hoffman of the Hoffman Group, was speaking, and he controls $5-8 billion in real estate. He owns almost all of Fifth Avenue, Naples. And he said, he goes, you know, I was just as happy when I was broke as I am now. And it's just, I like that you talked about it being invigorating, because most people would say, oh, it was so difficult or hard, or at least think that. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate you saying that.
You gotta enjoy the journey. I think that's what I would say to any newer person getting involved, is that it's fun. I mean, there's not a destination. Of course, we have goals and dreams and all that kind of stuff, but just enjoy the journey of it, of what everything that happens around it. It's fun.
Yeah. So let's jump into leader retention. So, you were telling me as of like, a year ago, you guys had gone how many years?
24 years.
So as of a year ago, and I know that there were a couple of shakeups or something, you know, just in this past year, but as of a year ago, in 24 years, you had never lost a six-figure earner. They had never left your team.
No,
so, I mean, that's just crazy. Now, how many, two or how many?
Lots.
like you have a rough estimate, like,
I mean, you know, yeah, 40, 50.
40 or 50. So in all of that time, I mean, it's so wild, because I just know that here's what I've noticed, is that a lot of people that get to whatever level, I mean, some people to $1 million a year, some people to 100,000 a year, they get to a level and then they no longer want to do the work. And as soon as they make that decision, they start complaining. They start saying, hey, my check's going down, or hey, y'all changed something, or I don't like that new video, even though they're not prospecting anybody. Like, you didn't get any of that? None of that happened?
Of course, so much of that. However, you know, the one thing that we did was our name is Melia Family. Our team, and we're a family. And so, right, I think that set the standard right there. I mean, how many times have you been in a fight with a family member and you're still friends with them, and you're still family? How many times have you been in an argument? How many times have you moved? Or how many times has this happened? And we still have unconditional love, right? I think that's the biggest thing, is we are a family and we know we're here for the long haul. And when there's things that are, when things go down, whether that's COVID, the company, something happens, something in your family happens. I mean, I don't know, right? We're here for you. 100%. We're here for you. And that's
so
the big thing.
A lot of people say we're family until the person doesn't do what they want them to do. And so like, give me a family way that you handled maybe a tough, you know, maybe a tough obstacle or, you know, like a leader coming to you and saying, you know, hey, I'm really upset. They didn't recognize me at the last event. Like how as a family did you handle that?
Well, first of all, I think we always have to praise people. And I think we always have to have this like relationship. I mean, John Maxwell is so good at all these leadership things, right? I read a lot of his books. I'm not this so good at quoting everything. I don't have the greatest memory of all, but like the thing is first of all, just praising them and letting them know that you care, listening to them, listen, like don't cut them off as soon as they tell you a bad issue and defend the company or defend something else or defend whatever. If we listen more compassionately, sometimes that's all that's needed. Yeah. Is to listen and be heard and not to give advice. And then there's times where you have those tough conversations, Ray, and you say, listen, what are you going to do? Go somewhere else. And you know, and then you do the comparison or you say, you know, there's a lot of reasons why obviously people want to stick in a company, especially if you've been there for a long period of time. Right. And you see what's out there. And so we may compare different things like that, but ultimately I really try to understand them and then try to give them some kind of suggestion to stay in the game. Like, what is it? Is it really the company? Or maybe it's something that they have to look in the mirror at themselves, you know? So I think those tough conversations, though, come with trust and respect, right? You've got to build that up, the trust and respect with those people. Otherwise you couldn't have these conversations. Hence why last year we did lose some people and it was sad, but it was because there wasn't that connection. Like if they're not plugged into us and whether not just on Zooms, but I mean, plugged into us, whether we're doing three-way calling together, whether, you know, we're training together, we're having intimate conversations, we're accountability partners, stuff like that. So once you build that trust and respect for each other, then those tough conversations you can have with them. And to be honest with you, again, I think listening is the biggest thing, but not being afraid to stand up for what you know is right. Like, I know why I'm still in my company. I know, even though things have gone, you know, disarray, or we have a new CEO or something happens and we may not be the happiest at that moment, I know how I have gone through this all. So I can give my perspective of why I'm still here. And usually that really helps. It really helps them because, again, they feel like they've been hurt and that you care.
Gotcha. I feel like you've given some advice to this, but I see a few different, you know, leaders on here from different companies and stuff. And so let's say someone's listening right now and they have a leader that is maybe, you know, complaining, asking for favors, you know, their check has gone down, but they're not prospecting, they're not doing the work. How can someone on here handle that with their leader? Cause it's, you know, it's like, I don't want to piss them off because they have produced in the past and they've earned respect, but they're not doing anything. How can they handle that? I feel like you've given some advice to this.
Yeah.
Really want to dial it in and make it simple.
And of course, listen, right? But what's their hot button? So now you need to, hopefully, you know, some of that, you know, do they have kids? Do they want to try? Like, you probably know this because they're your leader. So then you want to go at their hot buttons and go right at it. Like, what was the reason why you first got started? I mean, come on, you said that you wanted to retire your mom. You said you wanted to do these things. So being very blunt and forward with them about why they got started and what, you know, what that meant to them at the time when they were excited, when the check was coming in, and to remind them that business is all cyclical. I mean, come on, guys, we can't always be high. We can't emotionally always be high. There's things in our lives that are going to bring us down. So realizing that this is called business, it's called life. And that just because there's a hiccup or just because something happens or because you forgot to keep on prospecting, keep your pipeline full, that this happened. And to also listen to make sure they're not in management mode. And I think you probably train on this a lot because I even myself, I've got my management mode when I first make my first big, you know, level, right? One of my big levels where you're making some good money. I went into management mode. I went into boss mode. I went into like, I'm the bomb girl mode. And yeah. That was so wrong. Everything was about me. So as soon as it becomes about you, then you've got to turn it back on your leaders. But, you know, you really just have to make sure that they're being honest with themselves.
Yeah.
So I would get them on an accountability with you.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. I would get them accountable. First of all, give me your reasons why you still want to do this. What, you know, your goals and stuff like that. But let's get you accountable. Let's get you back into action. So activity mode is the best thing that you can do to put something, even if it's listening to something, right? It could just be go listen to Ray's podcast on this. Go listen to a spirituality on this. Get them into activity mode. And then every single day, give them more and more and more to do.
Nice. I love your response in that I think some people when they say, you know, we're a family, they get gun shy to give the advice that's needed. And so, you know, it's the things not said, right? Like there's a great book out there, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. Great book. And you know, it's like, you know, having candor with them, and which is what you're talking about. And so I think it's really powerful that, you know, you really caring about them is not just, you know, placating or saying everything's okay or making them right or something like that. It's, you know, it's caring enough to stand for them and to possibly, you know, not look great, you know, not agree with them necessarily. And so,
get into arguments. I mean, I try not to go there, but there's been times where there's arguments and we may not talk for a couple of days or a couple of weeks or something, but it's, you know, I just look at it's the nature of our relationship, because usually if we can confront it and we can be honest with each other rather than beat around the bush, pretend, then that we strengthen that relationship. And I'm not speaking anything that we don't know, but those hard conversations, I don't really love them, but I love what comes out of them. I'm so much closer to the person. There's so much more respect for each other. There's a whole new level. You just moved up to a whole new level of a relationship with that person. And again, that means they're going to stick and stay.
Yeah.
Like if we're talking about retention of leaders, I want them to stick and stay. So I'm not going to BS them. I'm going to give them everything I can. I'm going to speak from my heart. And I've been on the call, Ray, a few times, and maybe my business partners are watching, but I've been on a call many, 10 at least, crying and begging for them to listen or to look at it different, or, you know, like I get into it and it's not all pretty, right? It's not all pretty.
Well, and I think that's a mark of leadership, is the willingness to have the tough conversations, because without, you know, something, you know, someone taught me this a long time ago. They said, resentment, unaddressed resentment never shrinks. And that's true in business and personal, right? And so it's like the thing not said, it's not like it just goes away. It's, you know, like you having those tough conversations. That's really, really powerful. Tell me more about your, the Guatemala project.
Oh, I'd be happy to. I'm very passionate about that.
Yeah.
And well, first of all, we believe in giving back, and I think everybody believes in it, right? Whether we do it as an action is different. But because, you know, we're bringing in money, I've always volunteered since I was 16, just volunteering for something. And so we wanted to do something with the team. So we did a lot of things with the Boys and Girls Club, Make-A-Wish Foundation, great, great companies. Yeah. But we wanted more of the money to go to the kids. Right? We wanted more of it. And so when we found ourselves, my business partner, on a plane and saw a gentleman wearing a bunch of bracelets, a bunch of pulseras, he said, "Why are you wearing all those pulseras?" He said, "Because I support an orphanage in Guatemala." Well, we were looking for something. Didn't matter where. I always say my heart has no borders. It really doesn't. I want to serve everybody in the whole world that I could and can. And so we got on a plane. When we heard about it, we got on a plane and said, okay, maybe this is real. Maybe it's not. Met the owners, met the boys, because there was no girls. And I'll tell you, Ray, it was a really interesting experience, a fascinating one. Soon as those wheels landed in Guatemala on the plane, I got shivers up my spine. I knew I was exactly where I was supposed to be. Yeah. a third world country, completely dangerous, of course, right? I mean, we don't go always to the dangerous areas, but it is dangerous. You've got to be aware. But I felt the most comfortable. So even though I didn't know what to do with these boys, I wasn't blessed to have any children myself. What would I have in common with them? Well, everything was just perfect. I mean, it just went organically and great. We asked the owners what they want, you know, moving forward, what does that look like? And they needed a couple things like vans and some stuff, but they really wanted the girls' orphanage. Think about being an orphan. And then you've now been taken away from your parents, or your parents passed or whatever. Now you got to be taken away from your kids. We're familiar with a foster care system. It's very similar. An orphanage is more like a foster care system, I would say, in Guatemala, at least ours is. And so we built the girls' orphanage. It's the first princess orphanage in the entire world. It's a princess palace.
Wow.
It's a castle. It's amazing. Wasn't our idea. It was the girl who owns the orphanage, the boys' orphanage. Excuse me. So we opened that up about 8 years ago, and it's just been absolutely phenomenal. So now the boys and the girls can be together. So, excuse me, if there's a kid that comes to us, and it's a boy, a brother and a sister, they're not torn apart. It's a beautiful thing. And so it's been 8 years. They've been existing there for over 20 years. Wow. We've been able to support the girls. It's one thing to build an orphanage, right? But it's another thing to support them on a monthly basis. So we support that. Of course, we do fundraisers. Right now, we're in the middle of our biggest fundraiser of the year, which is Super Bowl. So for those of you who love Super Bowl, well, come with us and join our Super Bowl pool. But it is the biggest fundraiser. We have a lot of fun with it, but most of all, I bring groups with me. And that's what I love. I love to bring people to have new experiences, especially in another country, and with kids that I give unconditional love. I am so humbled when I go there, and I feel so grounded, because it goes to show you that you don't have to speak a universal language of anything else but love.
Nice. That's awesome.
It's really, really just been a great support for us, you know, with our team, because I think there's much more than making money and marketing products.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, we I love it. Big fans of that. How can people participate? And is it a team only thing, or can other people do it? How do people learn more about that, or if they want to give, how do they give?
Well, thank you for even asking about that. It was really sweet of you. And I'll see if Mike can put in the chat, my fiance put the link for the Super Bowl pool that we're doing right now. But you can follow us on workplaylove.org, workplaylove on Facebook and Instagram. And we're doing a $50 board for Super Bowl, a $100 board. And for the high rollers on this Zoom, a $500 board, which means $500 a square. But the payout, so Ray, this is cool. So we collect $100,000 in this 1 month period for the Super Bowl, and we pay out 50 grand to the winners, and 50,000 goes to the orphanage. That's awesome. It's a win-win situation. The $500 board is paying out $5,000 a quarter, and the last quarter, 10,000. So we've upped our game. We have never done a 500, but it's really fun. We get everybody involved, and we get other people involved, not just from our team. Like you said, they're family, and it expands beyond that, and it's become a really beautiful thing.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I put the link in the comments, as did Mike. I see Mike on here. And so, you know, feel free to visit that or share that if that, you know, tugs on your heart.
You want to come on a trip? Come on a trip. If you want to bring it, I'm all into that. I go COVID, of course, not as much, but we are going on a huge trip in June. If you're interested or any other time that you would love to come and check it out, please just let me know.
Super cool. Super cool. So, what I know that a lot of my audience would love to be giving back at the level that you're giving back at, but they just don't have the results just yet. Any kind of advice for that person on here who has that big heart, wants to be able to give, just not making it happen in their business?
100%. First of all, just know that it doesn't have to be money. I didn't start with money. I started with my time. Right. And when I was 16 years old and all the way up until I started making money, I guess. Right. But it's more that for me, I think it's more time. Like, just volunteer somewhere, whether it's your church, whether it's an abusive woman's home. I mean, follow your passion. What is it something that you're passionate about, and give back your time somewhere. And then sometimes if you even, you may not realize that $10 a month, like we have something called the Hogar Hero Program. Hogar meaning home, hero meaning you're a hero. $10 a month makes a massive difference. If you have 10 times 100 people, well, that's a good amount of money supporting. Yep. So remember that even that little tiny bit that you can financially do, but most of all, just please know that you have something to give somebody else, and something from your experience, something from, you know, your past, something from, you know, where you want to go, but you have more love in you to give than you think you do. And so I would say, please just go find something that you're interested in. And if you don't really even know what that is, then just say, hey, listen, I'm just going to start volunteering for this or at the church or something that's easy for you to figure out. But most of all, I would just say it humbles you, but most of all, it grounds you. So it does a lot more sometimes for yourself than it might even do for that volunteer. Big sister, big brother, I did that. I loved it. You know, it does take a little bit of time. And especially when you're building your business, you think you have no time, right? But you do. You make time, right? You figure that out.
Right. Amen. Amen. Well, I love it. I'm excited. I'll have to go check out the Super Bowl pool. Once the Colts were out, I was just like, but it's for a good cause. So I'll have to take a look at it. Very cool. Well, Kim, I really appreciate it. I know you run a humongous organization, you know, the charity side and the business side. So I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to hop on here and give us some excitement, encouragement, motivation, inspiration. And so thank you very much. I really appreciate you. And it's
listen, thank you for your time. I've, you know, just part of your trainings that I've been on, I literally have been training on that. And I appreciate who you are and what you are, what you do for the industry. So thank you.
Thank you for listening to Home Business Profits with Ray Higdon. And be sure to head over to rayhigdon.com/profits. to download your free audio where Ray shares his 29 sources of network marketing leads. Tune in next time for more tips and strategies on how to become a top earner in your company. With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.